come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
This is a recorded presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled, God Positioning His People, a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the Book of Ruth and the Book of Esther. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
I notice, I don't know if any of the rest of you notice, that Alistair Begg is also teaching the Book of Ruth. And he's a little bit behind us, so it's been very interesting listening to the things that he has been sharing. When I have caught him, I only caught him a couple of times, but I love the things that he has shared in the past. I love this Book of Ruth. I don't know about you guys. I am just loving what I am learning in the Book of Ruth. And so today, I put on this... this is sea glass in here, and someone made it into jewelry for me, and I'm just reminded of the hard times that this glass went through, the really hard times that this glass went through as it was washed in and out and the sand rubbed against it. It started out with really sharp edges. As it was broken off of something. It started off with really sharp edges and really definite points to it. But as it has gone through the trials, as it has gone through all of the things that it goes through, being in the ocean, all the rubbing against by things that it would rather not be next to, all of the things that have worked this into soft edges and just a beautiful thing that now has been, it's beautiful on its own, but someone took it and they adorned it. That's what God is doing in the Book of Ruth. That's what God is teaching us in the Book of Ruth. It is those trials. It is those hard times. Don't look at those things and say, well, I can't believe that God would make me go through this. Just look at it and see what God is actually doing. Rest in Him. Trust Him, because He's going to adorn you. At the end of the day, you're going to be so adorned with His Holy Spirit. So keep that in mind as you're going through the Book of Ruth. And there was a... what we're going to be talking about today is chapter 3, and we're going to be talking about the kinsman redeemer. That's what this whole book is about. This is the love story. Yes, it is a story of resurrection. It is a story of restoration. It is the story, that love story of someone who will lay down their life for someone else. It is the it's the chesed love that we have talked about every time that we've gotten together, that love that has no exit strategy. It's a love that's committed to someone else. And that is the kind of love that God has for us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will never put us in a place where His hand is not over us and not covering us. So that trial that you're going through, those hard times that you're going through, those little spurts of things that you're going through, those little foxes that keep coming in, just know you are right where you are supposed to be because of the love of God. And God calls us to have that same kind of love. And we saw that same kind of love when we started in chapter 1 with Naomi. Naomi having that kind of love. I would say also we could even look at chapter 1 and we could look at that and say, you know what? Elimelech had that kind of love for his family. He wanted to take care of them. He wanted to feed them. He wanted to make sure that they had everything that they needed. And so he picked up everything and he went to Moab. He went to this place that's called, as we studied, Who's Your Dad? Is the name of Moab. That's what Moab means, Who's Your Dad? And Elimelech, My God is King, Is that correct? My God is king took his wife Pleasant to a place called Who's Your Dad? Because he loved them. Because he cared for them. Because he wanted their lives to be in step with what God had for them. We know that from the beginning, that we're just going to go a little bit of review here. We know from the very beginning, it was during the time of Judges, that everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes. And that's going to play into chapter 3 here when they're out on the threshing floor. That's why they would be laying on that threshing floor. And so the story, and they all went there and they died, and people died, and Ruth and Naomi and Orpah are all ready to go back home. But we know that the love of Naomi for these two girls was so complete that she said, no, you go back home. My life is over. My life is over. I'm dead as far as I'm concerned. But you guys have a life ahead of you. And we know that Ruth said, no, I won't go back. I won't. Don't make me turn back. Don't make me turn back. That's chesed love. That is a love that is wholly given. We have Naomi with that kind of love. We have now Ruth with that kind of love. How did Ruth learn about that kind of love? She learned about that kind of love because she had invested time with Naomi. She had talked with Naomi. She now is under the covering of the same God that Naomi serves. And so because she's under that covering, because she's under those wings, she has that same kind of love. Excuse me. And when they came into back into Bethlehem, people recognized her. After all this time, they recognized Naomi, and they said, oh, Pleasant is back. Oh, how exciting. And she said, don't call me Pleasant. Call me Bitter, because I went out full, but I came in empty. Here she has standing next to her a lovely young woman who has wholly given her life over to Naomi, and yet Naomi is in the midst of her depression, the midst of her discouragement, in the midst of her wondering what it is that God would have for her now that she's just as good as a dead woman. And she doesn't even recognize what God has given her. Sometimes we forget to be thankful. Sometimes we just forget to be thankful. I forget to be thankful. Probably not you guys. I forget to be thankful because I'm looking at the hardness of something and I don't remember to be thankful for what God is working through that. And looking back, when David said, when he was in the midst of trials, he said, I will remember, I will remember, I will remember. I will remember what God did through this. I will remember what God did through that. I will remember how God carried us through. I will remember all of these things. And sometimes we just need to remind ourselves of the great things that God has done in our lives. And so then when they got in there, and we remember they were at the beginning of the barley harvest, And so they had that new beginning that was going on in their lives. And then we got introduced to Boaz. And Boaz is really what this whole story is about. Because Boaz is in the place of Jesus as we look at this. Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. And we'll get into what is a kinsman redeemer as we go through all of this. We know that as he came in, and we know that his name means in him is strength. In him is strength. And so Boaz, in him is strength, is there and introduced, and he is a member of the family. And the Moabitess, Ruth, the Moabitess says, let me go out and glean in the fields. Let me go out and go into the fields. She's telling that to Naomi. And it just so happened, by chance, it just happened that she ended up in Boaz's field. Why did she end up in Boaz's field? Because God was positioning his people. God was putting her right exactly where she needed to be. Even though she had no idea about anything. She's a Moabitess. She's a foreigner. Do they do this everywhere? I don't know. But here she is, and she's in his field, and it just happened that Boaz came and it was there at the same time that she was there. It just so happened that Boaz was so interested in his people It just so happened that Boaz came to visit his servants, came to visit his workers. He came, and what did he say when he came in? The Lord be with you. He gave them blessing as he was coming in. And what did they respond to him? They respond to him praise. Because he poured blessing into their lives, what they are able to do is praise him in return. And that's what we need to remember as well. That's part of our being thankful, to remember to return what we have, the reaping and sowing sort of thing. Boaz asks about this young woman because he's familiar with his people. He notices right away that there's somebody different here. And then he finds out all about her because he knows all about his other people. He's taken the time to find out that Jesus knows everything about you. He knows everything about you. God knows the thoughts and the intents of our heart. He knows everything about us. And that's the way that Boaz was with his people as well as being the kinsman redeemer. And so he was told how she was a hard worker. She came in to glean, and she worked until morning, until now. She rested a little bit. And then he talks to her, and he gives her the respect of calling her daughter. And he tells her what she's to do. You're to drink from the well, or you're to drink from the water that my men have brought up, so I am including you in family. Come and dine with me. I'm including you in family. That was men and women were at the dining table down further when he said, come here in verse 14 of chapter 2, come here and eat of the bread and eat with us, sit with us. That meant you were family. You were always family. Come and dine. Jesus says to us, come and dine. Prepare yourselves for the wedding supper of the Lamb. Jesus Christ is coming back for his church, and we need to remember that. We need to, when we're looking at things that are just monumental in our lives, we need to remember that Jesus Christ is coming back for his church, and we are not looking for the Antichrist to come first. We are not looking for all these other things to happen first. We are looking for our king, our husband to come, our groom to show up. And we don't want to be wives. We don't want to be, we are, none of us are in this category. None of you are looking at Jesus coming back with just getting out of where you're at. You know, when there are some brides that are just, I need to get out of this house. I need to get someplace else. And so they just marry anybody, or they look at that person as just, he's rescuing me, but, you know, I'm not really that interested in him. We look for the coming of Jesus because we love him. Because we love him. That's why we're looking for the coming of Christ. That's what we're looking at. And so you know that she took some of the grain home with her, and then when she got back, that she shared with Naomi all that had happened. Remember, Naomi was depressed, as she was down, she figured her life was over, she's dead, and there's nothing to be said about her anymore, and that she was in the field. She talked about being in the field, gleaning in the field. And you know what? I am so unused to using slides, so I just wanted to share with you the reason. Now, she's come back to Naomi, and she has... she's been gleaning. She's been doing this all day. She's been bending over. She's been kind of getting the leftovers that were left there. This is what was happening. The men were cutting the bundles. Then the men would wrap the thing around the bundles, and then the women would come behind and pick up what was left. And so they're bent over the entire time, the entire day, in the hot sun. Now she's coming to Naomi. Now she's coming to Naomi. Now she's coming to that place where she is going to be sharing with her mother-in-law what was going on. She has worked hard all day. She's tired. She's a younger woman. Remember, she's going through widowhood herself. She's going through her own grief. And she tells Naomi who this guy was, what field she went to. Naomi, oh, he's a relative, he's a relative. Oh, oy vey, what? I'm so excited. Can you see her dancing? Her mourning has been turned into praise. I'll give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That's what she got at that time. She got the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And as she went on, and we talked about all of the things that Ruth told her and what Naomi directed her into doing, and so she did exactly what Naomi told her to do. And then as we start in chapter 3 right here, we see that then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young women you were with, he's our relative. In fact, he's going to be at the threshing floor tonight. He's going to be at the threshing floor tonight. Now there are a number of ways that the threshing goes on. He's going to be there. Why is he going to be on the threshing floor? Because he has to protect his investment. Because robbers come in. Because we're in the book of Judges. Because everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes. And so this threshing floor that he was on would have looked, this is winnowing. This is what Ruth would have been doing as well. This is the separating of the chaff and the seed, and you just raise that up in the air. Sometimes it's done with a pitchfork, and the chaff gets blown off. So one of the reasons that they were in the on that floor also was that the breeze would come through, and it would blow the chaff away. And then when they wake up in the morning, they've got these little nice piles of their grain. And so one of the ways that was also done, and this would be the floor that they were sleeping on, was that the animals would drag this through and separate all of the grain and the chaff from it as well. So with all of that, so that's what was going on, and that's what Naomi was telling her daughter-in-law. And so she tells her in verse 3, "Therefore, wash yourself." Wash yourself. Ladies, I tell you right now, it is the washing of the water of the word that is needed in our lives. It is the washing of the water of the word that is important in our lives. She is to wash herself. Pour that word of God into you. Pour it into you. Make your time for the Lord. And wash yourself. You've got to do it. You've got to bring the water in as you are growing. And then it says, and then anoint yourself. The anointing speaks of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Empower yourself. There is nothing like fragrance to empower us. It really is true. There are fragrances that will bring things to our memory and bring a gentle feeling, bring a sense of security. They are all with those fragrances. Anoint yourself with the fragrance. We are to anoint ourselves with, allow the Holy Spirit to anoint us. We anoint ourselves with the fragrance of Christ by living for him, by washing in the water of the word. And then we put on a new garment. We put off that spirit of heaviness. And we get the garment of praise. She is to put off her widow's outfit. She is to put off that grieving at this particular time and put on that new garment and go down to the threshing floor. And as you looked at the things that were done with the threshing on the threshing floor, you realize that this was a time of separation. This is getting rid of the junk in our life. The threshing floor represents that, getting rid of the junk in our lives and allowing the Holy Spirit, allowing that seed to be there, to remain so that it can go out to other people and other people can grow as well. But don't make yourself known. Don't bring attention to yourself. And then it shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies and you shall go in. So notice, keep your eyes on Boaz. Keep your eyes on Boaz. I would say to us ladies, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the Lord. always let your eyes be set with him. Have dove's eyes, as it says in one of the, in Song of Solomon, I think. To have dove's eyes, to have that peripheral vision, but only what I see is in front of me. And so she is to keep her eyes on him, and she is to uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do. Lay at his feet. When we sang that song about the anointing of Jesus' feet, lay at his feet. Ladies, we need to be at the feet of our Redeemer. We need to be at the feet of our Redeemer. We need to allow him to just minister to us, just be there. She didn't say touch him in any way. She just said, lay at his feet. There's nothing weird going on here. It sounds weird to us, doesn't it? It sounds like, okay, yeah. Yeah, this is not normal. It would have been normal for them. But there's nothing sexual going on here at all. And so she does exactly that. I'm so far behind in any notes. And she says, and then he'll tell you what to do. So as we invest that time at the feet of Jesus, we will listen. And remember when Mary told the people at the wedding, whatever he says to you, do it. Whatever he says to you, do it. And they came with that wine. And she said to her, all that you say to me, I will do. God is positioning Ruth in the place that she needs to be in. So she went down to the threshing floor, did it according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of a heap of grain. And she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself. And there a woman was laying at his feet. And he said, who are you? She answered, I'm Ruth, your maidservant. Right away, he knows. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative. What is she saying here? She is saying, I am Ruth. Will you marry me? That's what she's saying. You're the close relative. You are the kinsman redeemer. Or in Hebrew, you are the Goel. You are the one. The kinsman redeemer was a person. If there was a death in the family, the man died, the brother would take on the wife so that they could raise up seed for an inheritance for the brother. When the brother was not there, if there were no more brothers, it goes to a distant relative. This is what's happening here. It goes to the distant relative, who is Boaz. Boaz is the one who is the kinsman redeemer right here. And he's the one that will step in, and he will gladly take on this responsibility. You see that he says, and she says, under your wing, because you're my close relative. Then he said, blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether rich or poor. You're not following after other things. You have had your eyes on how you can take care of Naomi. I know that about you, he says. You care for other people. And that's what he's talking about. You have kept your eyes on the work that has to be done. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. People have been watching her. People knew what she was doing. People saw her as she cared for other people. And now it is true, I am a close relative. However, there is a relative that's closer than I. And I have to go to him first, because it had to be the closer relative that would step in to be that kinsman redeemer. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good. Let him do it. But if he does not want to perform it, the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning. He's following in the direction that he needed to go. Remember, this is a man, this is a mighty man, this is a man of integrity. This is a man who everyone looks at, and they say he is a great man. He says, I'm going to follow the law. The law says that this person has to go first, but I am more than willing to do it. I just want you to know I'm more than willing to do it. I really want to be the one. I do want to be the one, but I have to do it this way first. And do you see the submission of Ruth at that time? She's paying attention to what he says, and she follows through. He tells her to stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that he will... we already did that, but stay until morning. So she lay at his feet until morning, and she arose before one could recognize another. And then he said, don't let anybody know that you were here on the threshing floor. We don't want anybody to know that there were women here. It's not... He was protecting her purity. He was protecting her. He is showing that chesed love once again, protecting her, making sure that she was taken care of. Also, he said, bring the shawl that is with you on you and hold it. And when he held it, he measured 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her. And then she went into the city. So 6 ephahs of barley is enough to feed one person for 2 weeks or 2 people for 1 week. It was... 2 weeks' salary. It probably was pretty heavy. It's just seed there. So she's carrying it home, and she carries that burden to her. That's not a burden at all, because it says that when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, is that you, my daughter? And then she told her all that the man had done for her, just what Naomi had expected would happen. Naomi has been thinking of the future all along. And she said, these 6 ephahs of barley he gave me, for he said to me, do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law. You will never come away from time with your Redeemer empty-handed. You will never come away from time with your Redeemer empty-handed. And what you will be given is what you can share with someone else. Always, always, when we invest that time with our Redeemer. And then she said, sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out, for the man will not rest until he's concluded the matter this day. This man has told you something. I know this man is trustworthy. I know this man is a man of his word. He will do what he's supposed to do. He will say he has said he will do something. He will make sure that it is in line with exactly what he's supposed to do. And he will not sleep until it's taken care of. God is on your problems. He's on it. God doesn't care. God doesn't care. I've been going through this for so long. God doesn't... He's on it. He's on it. God's got this. You and God have got this. Whatever it is, you and God have got this. Because he is your kinsman redeemer. He is the one who has given his life for you. Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. He offers to redeem each one of us by sending Jesus to pay the price. Jesus laid down his life with that chesed love. The chesed is also in Greek, the agape love, the one that you're more familiar with, that word. And so in a sense, we each need to allow God to lay his wings over us. When she said, did I just skip over the whole thing, where she asked him to put his garment over her? Just put the corner of your garment over me. And he was taking on the responsibility of marrying her by doing that. There was nothing, again, there was nothing sexual going on. There was none of that that was going on. It was a simple covering. Come under my wings in the same way that you came under the wings of the God of Israel. And Jesus said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how many times would I have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks under her wing, but you would not. And God says to us right now, I want to gather you under my wing. I've got you. I've got you. I've got you. You are covered. I've got you. I have spread my garment over you. I have spread my wings over you. I've got you. Don't fear. Trust the Lord and see the salvation of the Lord. Don't fear, but see the salvation of the Lord. God has got this. Give it over to him. Allow him to do it, because in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace, Ephesians 1:7. You've got this, and you're not doing any of it alone. Your kinsman redeemer has that chesed love for you. Your kinsman redeemer has that agape love for you, and he will not sit still until you are taken care of. He will neither slumber nor sleep. He who watches over Jerusalem neither slumbers nor sleeps. The one who's watching over you will neither slumber nor sleep, no matter what your situation, no matter what your worry, no matter what your thought. He's got you. And so, Lord, I thank you that like this sea glass, Lord, that the sharp edges are being worn down, even in Ruth's life, even in Boaz's life, even in Naomi's life. Sharp edges being worn down through the hard times that they've gone through. But Lord, you said in your word, I will not stop until you are redeemed. And even as you, Lord, even as you were in the garden and asked the Father if there's any other way, when you knew that there was no other way, you didn't refuse, but you laid down your life for us. And so, Lord, right now, if there is anyone in this room that has never told you, Lord, I have need of a Savior. I have need of a Redeemer. Would you cleanse my heart? Would you forgive my sin? Come and live in my heart and allow me to live for you. Lord, may we each day remind ourselves of what you've done for us, that we might have eternal life. This love that is shown with Boaz and with Ruth, this love story, this resurrection story, this regeneration story, this gospel. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, we honor you, and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, please bless these ladies as they go in their groups, Lord. Let them just love each other. In Jesus' name. Bless you guys. Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495. Giving up, letting go.